This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello, and welcome to the Wednesday before the first tee edition of Long Shots Golf Betting Podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin coming to you. If you did not listen to the full episode before you got this one, well, you're going to be lost. So head back over to the first episode. Go and listen. Our episodes come out on first thing Wednesday mornings, very, very early. They're the first thing in your podcast feed. So go listen to that. This is just an update from where we were as we were recording late on Tuesday evening. Kelly talked some first round leader stuff here. We'll talk any ads that maybe ended up on our card as well. And then we can just talk some, if you're playing any of the big DFS contests out there, just some of the names that were popping up in our models that might provide at least a little bit of value from a cost-saving perspective so you can get to some of those big-name guys. But first and foremost, did you make any adds to your card from an outright perspective or a placement market perspective or anything like that?
First of all, I think this is our first time doing a second weekly one outside of a major week, but I liked your idea of kind of what you teased coming in. We should always leave the Tuesday episode on a cliffhanger of some kind, just so you really can't listen to the Wednesday one without having listened to the Tuesday one before. That's a good call. I did make a few first round leader bets here. Outrights top 10, top 20. I believe I hit on everything yesterday. Will emphasize not a ton of outright bets for me. I talked through top 10s that I bet on Xander and Sam Burns yesterday. Definitely a lower bet amounts though than what I hit in the top 20 market. Doug Gim, Aaron Rye, Keith Mitchell in the top 20s are definitely my biggest bets of the week, along with the tournament matchups I made. Tony Finau over Sung J.M. there, Doug Gim over Christian Bezuidenhout. Those are the only two. I actually thought I was going to be adding one or two matchups today as we had more books around Vegas open up tournament matchups, of course, you know, a whole 24 hours before the tournament. Thank God they're up. I a couple shops that opened up today, Matt, I didn't really see any others I thought were worth adding there, unfortunately.
The only thing I did add, if you listen to the main podcast, I was trying to make a decision between Nick Taylor and Andrew Novak, and I was just like, listen, ultimately, I just wasn't comfortable with the price you had to pay for Nick Taylor. It is so incredibly low, and so I chose Andrew Novak to go with this week. I might get some exposure to Nick Taylor in maybe the first round leader market, maybe in a grouping market, maybe top Canadian market or something like that. But ultimately, Nick Taylor at 30 something to one just doesn't feel right with me. And I couldn't get there. And so for me, ended up going with Novak, who, if you look in the models, honestly, Kelly, they're not really separated by that much at all in the models for me, for where I had where Novak was showing up and where Taylor was. And then honestly, the things that I'm looking at from, like, okay, what am I looking for this week, right? Like, we're looking for approach, we're looking for, you know, these various keys that we find to all of this. And honestly, Novak was kind of like right there with him anyway. And so with all of that, I just kind of went with that. I mean, like, look, if we're talking strokes gained on par fives, you know, I mean, Nick Taylor is actually kind of 67th in the field over the last 24 rounds, where Novak is 46th over the last 24 rounds. So there are even some reasons where I could justify going towards Novak, even outside of just the price discrepancy. So that's where I ended up landing. I know that I kind of left that as a question mark yesterday, but I did make the decision there. And Andrew Novak gets my final little bit of love here this week over Nick Taylor.
See, there was the Tuesday tease to the Wednesday episode there. You're right. It was a decision you were thinking about. Nick Taylor, I mean, I feel like we talked a lot about him actually on the Friday episode, right? Like, there's something about Nick Taylor I really like. I feel like I never bet the guy, but I feel like I'm trying to fend him off on a weekly basis with other bets going on. So completely understand why you'd be interested in him there. And Novak was a guy that he spiked more for me last week, I think, actually, than he did this week. He's still up there. He's still up there in some of my models, but not enough to garner too much betting interest for me. I'll tell you, the one guy whose name continues to pop up there when I run different stuff is Joel Damon. He had some ridiculous stat numbers last week. Just lost a ton with the putter, I think it's skewing things a little bit. But he's still the one that I'm kind of fighting myself from adding because I haven't done that yet. I'm not going to. It just hasn't put together enough consistently good tournaments here recently, I think, for me to really buy onto it. But it's kind of interesting because I don't really know that how often I feel like I see outliers like that that I can't fully get my mind around. You know, I think like the Daniel Berger one's a good example, right? We talked a little bit about him yesterday. Depending on how far back you're drawing rounds and looking at round data, right? If that's how you're doing it, Daniel Berger, well, some of his stuff might pop up from 3 years ago. It's something that you got to be a little careful with. But, you know, Damon, it's more of just, he's just, you know, won two tournaments where he's kind of gone nuclear that's kind of put him up there. So, yeah, he would be the one I think that I'm going to be beating myself up a little bit if he does anything. As far as first round leaders go, I played Doug Ghim there. I think no surprise there, but it doesn't matter. If I'm looking at last 36, last 12, last 8 rounds, Doug Ghim is top 3, 4, 5, like that range, everything I'm looking at for me this week. So it is first. I did bet him first round leader. I've also bet a top 5 first round leader on him as well. 10-1, 50-1 is the first round leader price. Other ones that I played there, Brian Harman, who I guess got auto-corrected to Brian Hartman on my sheet. Brian Harman, I did play him. I was considering adding him. I think we did talk about him a little bit yesterday. He was a guy that was definitely floating around there. I probably could have made a case to add for a bet this week. But I think I'm just going to play him in the first round leader market. Hopefully that momentum from Sunday carries over into Thursday here. I don't think there's too many. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. Like it was, I think if there was anybody, you know, in theory that I'd be worried about this week from what happened at the end of last week, it would probably be more Wyndham Clark. But of course, he's not in this event just because of his post-round stuff, man, you could tell he was frustrated. I really thought he had it, close to winning that tournament and getting those putts to drop. Harman and Xander, Xander's got to be damn used to this by now. You would think of some of these tournaments not going his way. And yeah, Harman, I don't know for how long he was really, really in the thing. So I'm okay. I don't really think there's going to be any mental side effects coming out of a Sunday round like that. I think if anything, he's just eating up. So did bet him. And then Aaron Rye is the other. I decided, you know, we talked about him yesterday. I know all three of us are on him in different forms, me, you, and Wes. Played a first round leader on him though, and then in the top 20 market. That's the only spots that I went to go bet with the black glove Aaron Rye.
Yeah, so for me, I did dabble just a tiny bit in the first round leader stuff. And so while I refuse to bet Xander at this ridiculously short price outright,
22-1
available out there as far as first round leader goes. And I mean, 22-1 for him to go out and have a low round, I can pallet that, yeah. Right? Yep. So that I can pallet. So I will feel okay with that. I feel pretty good from betting him there. I'm also going to take a little piece, and I know what it seems like all we do is talk about Doug Ghim here lately, but I am going to go ahead and play a little Doug Ghim in the first round leader market. And specifically because of this, Kelly, and this is just the thing. I mentioned it and I don't know if there's anything to it, but let's just look at it this way. He played the Sony, then the American Express, then the Farmers. Then there was a week off before the Waste Management, then the Mexico, then the Cognizant, then the Players, right? Like Doug Ghim has had a very, very full 2024 calendar so far. And I just don't want him to run out of steam, right? Yeah. I don't want him to run out of gas more than anything else. I just don't want him to run out of gas. So like if I don't want to miss out on making some sort of money on this guy if I can keep from it. So
Yeah, maybe he goes low Thursday, Friday, and then implodes on the weekend. Yeah, it makes sense.
So I did play a little bit there just to kind of make myself not hate myself if he plays one good round. And then the one fear that I had, which was him like losing steam and getting tired and whatever, actually comes into play. And then it's like, oh, you idiot. You even said it.
Right.
You know, you even said it. So just, you know, had a pretty full schedule there for Doug Gims. So just something I'm going to hedge there. So I have a Xander first round leader. I have a Doug Gim first round leader. And then the only other one that I do have in there, and I don't love the price on it, but I did play a little bit of an Adam Hadwin first round leader. Adam Hadwin is one of those guys that seems to have one good round a tournament. And if that one good round could come in the first round, that would be pretty sweet. So I do have him in there when it's all said and done. So just three first round leader bets for me. None that I feel great about other than the Xander, because I will say this. I mean, he is by far the best player in this field.
Yeah.
And you're getting 3x his outright number for him to be first round leader, you know? And of course we got to bet these guys, you know, I mean, at books in which you're not going to get chopped up. And so, you know, even the difference between taking a 20-1 at a book that doesn't chop you up as opposed to a 22-1 is massive. So definitely take the 20-1 in the like ties pay full, you know, stuff out there. So just, you know, be sure that you're doing that.
The, I'll tell you, I know you and I have talked about these, not as much on the podcast, but the, and I haven't bet a ton of them, frankly, either, but the top fives, the like end of round one, top five, top tens, there might be a lot of value in those. Like
there might be, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that, because that is a, you know, like end of round leader, you're going to get dead heated everywhere, right? If they, I mean, if you're tied, if you're just betting that, you're going to get dead heated every single book you could possibly bet at it for end of round leader. Top five, top 10, some of these, some places won't do that to you. Mm-hmm. They'll pay it full. And we know, especially at some of these tougher courses, where it's going to be tough to go out there and go way, you know, way low. You might have a bunch of guys that are actually in that kind of top five or tied for top five range. So that's where I dabbled a little bit more with Gim in that market this week. I'm kind of interested to experiment playing those a little bit more going forward. The only reason I haven't so far is just because you don't want to sink too much of your weekly bankroll into the first round market, I think. But it's just there's so with some of the sportsbook options these days, they're so great, man, of how many bets you could make that would make sense based off of what our models have. But man, at the end of the day, you could have 1,000 different bets going.
So lastly, guys, on a from a DFS standpoint, that might be where you can go, Kelly, and get some exposure to Nick Taylor and not feel as bad about it. Because here's the other thing, like you taking game theory into account, right? And so he's really expensive in DFS. He costs $9,100 this week, whereas a guy like Tony Finau, who is much more pedigreed and a much more household name, costs $9,300, right? Keith Mitchell costs $200 less at $8,900 than Nick Taylor. I can see people flipping between those guys. Like I would see Keith Mitchell and Tony Finau garnering more ownership than Nick Taylor, because you rationalize by saying, oh, Tony Finau is only $200 more. I'll find the $200 to play Tony Finau. Or, hey, I'm saving $200 on Keith Mitchell. Right. I'll just save the $200 and play Keith Mitchell as opposed to Nick Taylor. So I think that he is one of the guys that you can kind of target in DFS that I think is pretty interesting this week. And it gives you a chance to get some exposure to him without feeling guilty paying the super low price in the betting market. One of the other guys that did pop a little bit, and, you know, DFS scoring does reward, you know, some of these guys from what they're able to do, you know, from a birdie making perspective. And Sam Ryder showed up pretty high in a few of the different models for me. He's down at 7,300 over at DraftKings this week, Kelly. And like, you know, again, he might not win the tournament, but like Sam Ryder can make birdies, and like, and so you just get, you score so well for making birdies. And so that is another one of the guys that kind of popped for me from a DFS perspective, if you want to look at. And of course, if you listen back to the main pod, you'll hear my long shot guys this week. And any of those guys, I think you could use to fill out a DFS lineup. And, you know, I think you'll be unique because you won't be putting guys in your lineup that everybody else is going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Ryder, looking back at it, so he's 10th in my 36 round model. I mean, you're talking about 16th in good drives, 38th in fairways gained, 4th on approach in the field, 17th opportunities gained. Those are all the positives. Now he's about middle of the pack strokes gained par five. The long irons, but you know, proximity 200 plus a little bit, not great for him. Scrambling, not great for him. So, you know, if he's putting it in the fairway and really making this, you know, fairways and green sort of thing. Yeah. I think he's a guy that says he can go low. Those are the stats that tell you he can go low.
Yeah. The other guy that, like, again, is not, it's not like popping off the page for everything, but he's super cheap and you can just hope for like a 95th percentile outcome for him. But like, so Carson Young, not Cam Young, but Carson Young, he's only 6,300 over at DraftKings. 10th in this field over the last 24 rounds in strokes gain approach. He is 12th in driving accuracy. He is 4th in approaches from 175 to 200 yards. So, you know, hey, look, if we're looking at, I mean, like, he's not terrible par five scoring. He's 37th in this field. But again, you're getting a guy that's 6,300, right? He's super, super cheap. You're like rounding out your lineup with a guy like this. Now, not great in bogey avoidance, not
sucks
great
around
in,
the green.
Yeah, not great in straight, all that. But again, we're trying to play the peaks.
You're looking for high end value.
Exactly. Yeah. The only way you're winning a DFS tournament is like, you have to have this, you have to have your guy
run pure.
He's got to go in his 95th percentile outcome. And so with that, I think that there's something to be said for him as well. So again, guys, that's who we're looking at for first round leaders. Any bets that we added, maybe from a DFS perspective, if you're looking to kind of round out your lineups, those are some guys that maybe you could throw in there on the cheap and maybe hope for, you know, again, we're just hoping for kind of that 90th, 95th percentile outcome. And if that's the case, then your other studs that you're able to fit in by putting those cheap dudes in there should be able to carry your lineup from there. Kelly, you know, listen, I could sit here and say my favorite bet of the week is just all things, you know, Doug Gim. So, I mean, I don't really think we need to go there, but it's just, he really did just destroy the model for me this week. I mean, like, just like I said, number one and two of the three that I ran and only fifth in the other one. So it's just, the dude was just really lighting it up for me.
Yeah, I've got him basically scattered everywhere as well. I think it's great. I mean, for a lot of golf bettors out there, I know who have been betting Doug Kim and probably losing money over the past, you know, year and a half, 2 years, whatever it's been now with him. It's nice that you're finally seeing some return on your longstanding investment, because it's been five straight top 20s. I do think that's the market I'd probably focus the most on with him, but top 20s, tournament matchups. Love him this week, but have, you know, loved him the past few weeks that he's teed it up as well. Yep. So hopefully he can go out there and be nice to see him win one of these. That'd be really cool.
It would. Full card available over at VSiN.com, VSiN.com/picks. If you have not become an annual subscriber yet, you want to go ahead and do that. Hey, we're heading into March Madness as well, so you're going to get a really good bang for your buck. Use promo code GOLF, G-O-L-F, and with that, we're going to save you $41 off of your annual subscription as well. For Kelly, I am Matt. Good luck on all your Valspar bets.